Hi, this is Josh Cook. Thank you for downloading the North Jackson Church of Christ sermon audio file. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at northjacksonchurchofchrist.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in our worship service. You're always welcome at North Jackson Church of Christ.
Good morning. Adam, Drew, and Randy, thank you for getting us off to such a great start this morning. Please keep Drew and Will Malone's mother in your prayers. She's struggling with her health, and we love that family and appreciate them so very much and want God to bless them in the richest way. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it in so long, but I'm so glad it's back. The sun, it's like a long-lost friend has returned. It's not a rainbow, but it'll do. And it signals it's not going to rain, at least this morning. It may be raining this afternoon, because someone once said about Tennessee weather, if you don't like the weather now, just hang around, it'll be different tomorrow. Hopefully the rain is past us, and maybe we can spend a few days in the sunlight of God's love and appreciate His beautiful creation and what a joy it is to be in such a beautiful building like this morning. In the freedom to worship God in spirit and truth with our dearest friends, our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy it is to be a Christian, and what a blessing it is to be a member of the Lord's church. Do you struggle to juggle? That's the new way of saying we sometimes have a difficult time balancing work, family, God and self. Or as one husband and father said recently, my boss wants more hours from me, my kids and wife want more time with me, my church is asking more service from me, and I'd like to just find a little time for myself. Does it sound familiar? It's pretty clear, isn't it, that what really, every family needs today is just a little balance. Let's talk about it. A few years ago, Lifeway did a survey of about 2,000 families in this country, and they came up with a list of the top 10 issues facing today's family. And so here it is. Some of these do not surprise us, right? The anti-Christian culture, we're not getting any help from our culture. Divorce, which is still a major problem and still too high in our country. Busyness, we're talking about sports, academics, recreation. The absence of a father figure, the lack of discipline, financial pressures, lack of communication, negative media influences. And then note number 9, a balance of work and family, and then finally, materialism. It's all about priorities, isn't it? It's all about figuring out what is really important to us. In the passage that was read for us, Jesus is teaching. Perhaps he's in Capernaum in a synagogue, and as he's teaching, his mother and brothers come to that place and are standing outside and want to see him. And the implication is pretty clear, isn't it? That Jesus would stop what he was doing and would go out there and visit with his family. Now, that's not to say that once his teaching was done and once he was finished with his work there in the synagogue, that he didn't go out and visit with his parents. Most likely he did. But clearly the implication is that Jesus would stop what he was doing at that moment and go out and visit with them. That's not what he does. Jesus simply asks, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And then he looks at his disciples and he says, "These are my mother and my brothers." And you have to understand that the brothers of our Lord didn't even believe in him. Jesus had to deal with that, for example, in John 7, verse 5. And then there were relatives and friends of his in Nazareth in Mark 3, verse 21, who thought he was crazy for all the claims that he made. And so maybe Mary, his mother, is struggling, trying to understand or comprehend this son of hers. But clearly, the brothers don't believe in him. They will not believe in him until after the resurrection. But the truth is, Jesus, when he looks at his disciples and he does not interrupt his teaching, he is saying what is truly most important to him. And what was most important to him was what he was doing at that time, teaching. It wasn't that his family wasn't important, but in his priorities, teaching that multitude and teaching his disciples who were following him faithfully was his chief priority. And it's really easy to have that as your priority when your family is a spiritual family and is supporting you in what you're doing. But when that family is not a spiritual-oriented family and they're not with you and they're not supporting you, it makes your job a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? But we take a cue from the Lord and we keep our priorities in line. And at the end of this passage, Jesus makes a wonderful statement of grace. When he says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my mother and my brothers. In other words, they are my family to be a part of God's family is a tremendous blessing and comes simply by the grace of our Lord. Priorities have always been the issue in trying to keep those things straight and balancing all of these matters that are important to us. The German writer Wolfgang von Goethe once said this about priorities, and he nailed it. That which matters most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least. And so what we have to figure out is, what is the most important thing in our lives? Let me make some suggestions this morning. Priority number one has to be the Lord. It has to be our Father in heaven. It has to be our Savior. It has to be with the Word inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, when you look at the priorities that God sets forth for us in His Word, it all begins with Him, right? When you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and you think about those being ten priorities, know which is the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. God must have first place in my life. He must be the most important part of my life. You'll remember when Jesus was asked about the great commandments, and Jesus replied in Matthew 22, verse 37, that the greatest commandment of all was very simply this: to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. He said this is the first and great commandment. So there's our priority number one, to keep God first in our lives. Jesus said it this way: if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14, 26. In other words, you can't follow me unless I am first in your life and I have the most important and most prominent place in your life. So there's our first priority, is to keep him number one in our lives at all cost. But understand this, in so doing that, we have the love of God that Drew prayed for and thanked God for, and we enjoy that blessing. And we have the death of Jesus on the cross and his blood that cleanses us from all our sins, and we do have the hope of eternal life, and we do have a tremendous influence on those who are around us who see God first and foremost in our lives, and maybe we can even take their souls to heaven with us. But make no mistake about it, if God isn't first in our lives, he's not in our lives. And if he's not in our lives, then we don't know that kind of love. We don't know that sacrifice of our Savior, those sins that are forgiven, and we don't have that hope of eternal life. So here's where it starts, and here's where it ends. God is number one. That's not the way it is so much in our culture, or even in the church today, even in the lives of some Christians. So many other things crowd God out of our list of priorities. But make no mistake about it, if we're trusting the Bible, God is our number one priority. But number two, notice that the church is a primary priority in our lives. And I'm not just saying that, but remember what the Lord said: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So to our Lord, a major priority in our lives is the kingdom. And the kingdom is the church. And so the church must be a prominent place in my life, a primary place in my life. We can say it's right up there with our relationship with the Lord himself, but the church has to be important to us. Listen, it was important to Jesus, so much so that Jesus died for it in Acts 20, verse 28. There's so many things that just seem to crowd out the church from our lives. And the busyness of our lives sometimes will do that. Sometimes we think about work, and sometimes play interferes, and even people who perhaps work 6 days a week and the only day they feel like they can rest is on Sunday, so they even put their own rest prior to the relationship with the Lord and their attendance in the Lord's church. But we also know that sports crowds in, and even academics, and even vacations and recreation and so many other idols that displace God or the primary place of the church in our lives. You think about sports today, isn't it amazing that the littlest of t-ball players or soccer players, even to the senior in the travel ball team, is expected by their coaches to miss church and be there either for practice or the game on Sunday. It wasn't always that way. And I'm not here to put down sports or bash sports. I love sports. I play sports. Our children played sports. And sports are good, and they do a lot of good things in our lives, but they cannot be more important than the church. And sometimes we may need to ask ourselves this about our children being involved in sports, and so much so, is it our children who want to be involved in it, or is it us? Are we the ones who are really getting into it? They would just simply like a parent who would not just be a friend, but more than that would be a leader. Make decisions, choices, and help them prioritize their lives. Because make no mistake about it, we struggle with our priorities. They struggle too. And they will imitate what we do. And if we do what is right, they're going to follow suit. The Oscars are tonight. I don't care. But they're on tonight. They're going to pick the best picture. But do you remember in 1981, what was the best picture? Chariots of Fire. Remember that movie? It's a great movie. Eric Little, true story, who made the Olympics in 1924, but he refused to run a race on Sunday because it went contrary to his beliefs and his convictions. It was a race that he certainly would have won. He would race again in the Olympics, but that race he refused to run was his best race. That almost seems trivial today, doesn't it? It almost seems trite, doesn't it? Compared to what's going on in our world today. And I believe that one of the reasons at least that we're having so much trouble with our priorities when it comes to this area is because our children have watched us so conveniently dismiss services for something we want to do, something that we believe is important to us. And I know academics are important. And being educated is important. And I know college scholarships are important. Oh, how do I know that? I'm not in the middle of it, all of it. But it cannot be more important than the church. And I've even seen families who have punished their young people, not allowing them to be involved in youth activities, and seeing that as a right way or an appropriate way or the best way to discipline their children, by taking the church away from them or taking opportunities to fellowship with the Lord's church or be engaged in the Lord's church away from their children. When did we ever get to that point? And how is it that we go on vacations and don't even think about the Lord's church, don't even frequent the doors of the church? It can be done. All of the above can be done. We can be engaged in sports. We can emphasize education. We can go on vacations, and we can enjoy the world that God gave us to enjoy, but all in its right order and all in its due priorities. Nothing is more important than the church. And the Bible still says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10, 25. So priority number one is God. Priority number two is the church. But priority number three, if we're married, should be our spouse. I love the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says that Elkanah, her husband, gave her a double portion. Listen, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. He doesn't love Hannah because Hannah has given him a household or a house full of children. He loves Hannah because he loves her. And he wants to be with her, and he wants to spend his life with her, and she's that important to him. And when Hannah can't have children, and she's begging God for children, you'll remember in verse 8 that Elkanah saw her standing afar off, and he said to Hannah, "Why are you weeping? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" That's the way it ought to be. That husbands love their wives and their wives love them. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So in our priorities, our spouses come first in our families, followed very closely by our children. The truth is, Satan's trying to attack the family today, and he's doing a pretty good job of it as well, and he's trying to take our children away from us. And let me tell you, here's the most important thing about children. They are souls entrusted to us, and it is our job to take those souls and put them or send them on their way and guide them on their way and encourage them on their way to eternal life. That's our primary job as parents. Nothing is more important than our children going to heaven. To do that, God has to be first in their lives as he is in ours. The church has to be important, and they need to know that daddy loves mama and mama loves daddy. That mama and daddy enjoy spending time together, doing things together, and it's obvious that their love is forever and ever and ever. They need to see that. Our children are a prized possession. We got to fight for them. In Nehemiah 4:14, when Nehemiah is trying to get the nation to build the wall around Jerusalem, part of that wall still standing even today. You remember Nehemiah said, "And I looked, and I arose, and I said to the nobles, and to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses, your homes." Yes, build the wall. Yes, build the city. Yes, dwell in the temple of God. But above all things, fight for your marriages and fight for your children and your homes. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of his womb is our reward. In other words, children are a blessing from God, a gift from God. There is no greater blessing than our children. I think I agree wholeheartedly with Chuck Swindoll, who once wrote these words, "How parents raise their children will have a greater impact on society than the way they vote, the art they create, the books they read, the technological problems they solve, or the planets they may visit." Nothing is more important than what happens in the home when parents have their children as a priority and protect them and love them, doing what is best for them. But these are our priorities. And following that, we have to put their work, right? I mean, we've got to work, right? Some of us have multiple jobs. In the back of my mind, I can hear Paul saying to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever," which means even infidels and believers do not desert their families. They don't leave their families destitute. Even they work to support their families. So we should be much better than that. We should do much more than they do because we believe in God and we know God's on our side. But it's hard to balance work and family and even the church and the Lord. And anytime we leave just for ourselves, it's difficult. God created work in the Garden of Eden in that perfect setting in Genesis 2:15. I love to work. Maybe you love to work too. The thing you have to fight is being a workaholic, because so many times work becomes more important to me than my marriage, my children, and my God. Work is important and work is necessary. But when the day is done, the dust is settled, and the world has ended, and we stand before God in judgment, it's not going to matter how much money we made, the size of our house, the kinds of cars that we drove, or the clothes on the backs, or where our children went to school or didn't go to school. What's really going to matter is, were we faithful to the Lord? I ran across this illustration. If you survived nuclear disaster and it was time to come out and you came out, what would you be looking for? What would be the first thing you would be looking for? And as we would come out and we'd look around, it certainly wouldn't be the paint on the house. It wouldn't be the flowers in the garden, nor would it be the football game that was so inconveniently interrupted because of nuclear disaster. Nor would it be what happened to the cars. Or look at what the front yard looks like. You know who you'd be looking for? We wouldn't be looking for a thing. We'd be looking for a person. We'd be looking for our wives. Are they okay? We'd be looking for our sons and our daughters. We would be looking for our families. Are our families okay? Things that really matter must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. We would be looking for our families, because they mean and ought to mean to us more than anything else. But number six, what about my relationship with others? And we do have friends, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. Maybe you're blessed to have those kinds of friends. And friends are important at school. They're important at college. They're important in the Lord's church, and they're just simply important in our personal lives. But they cannot be more important than the Lord, the church, our marriage, our children, and even sometimes our jobs. And I think about the fact that evangelism is still a primary purpose of the Christian life. Go ye and preach the gospel to every person. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. And I can promise you this, sometimes we become so enmeshed in this that this becomes priority number one. It becomes more important than our marriages, more important than our children. It becomes our top emphasized priority. And if we're not careful, even preachers lose their marriages and lose their children and even lose their jobs. And yes, I know that there are those who are in need and those who need help, and we need to be reaching out to them. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To visit means not just to drop by and say hello, but to help meet their needs. There are great needs out there, and we feel that pressure, and we feel the need to be evangelistic and to be sharing the gospel with all these people. And yes, all of those are important and necessary, but they're not to be at the expense of our marriages, our families, or our Lord. What does every family really need today? I think they probably need more than anything else just a little more balance in their lives. And finally, last of all, self. I don't know if you draw your circle, and I don't know what you put in your circle, which represents your life. And maybe your circle is God, and maybe you put in your circle everything that's important to you, like your relationship with Him, like the church, like your marriage, like your children, like your job, like helping others. Where are you in that circle? Where am I in my little circle of my priorities? The truth is, the Bible says that, yes, we are to love our neighbors. Matthew 22, verse 39. But it also says we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We live in a narcissistic, self-esteem, self-actualization, self-love, immersed society, don't we? Everything from Walt Whitman's Love Thyself to Joseph Campbell's Follow Your Bliss, on and on the philosophies of men go that we should put ourselves number one. While we are last, That doesn't mean we must be overlooked. Yes, we need to take care of ourselves spiritually, but emotionally and physically too. And there are interests that we have and hobbies that we have, and they make us a more well-rounded person. And I'll tell you, they make me a better preacher, a better teacher, a better husband, a better father, because there are so many wonderful things that we enjoy doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. It just cannot become selfish. Yes, it can be about self, but it cannot be selfish. There's our priorities. I was watching the news some years ago when Hurricane George hit the West Coast. And they were interviewing a family that was huddled together. And this family was exhausted. They were drenched and soaked. And they were holding on to each other. You could tell they had been through a tremendous storm. And the reporter was asking them about they had lost their house and they had lost all of their possessions. And he was simply interviewing them, trying to get a feel for what they thought, how they believed. And the father then answered for the family, and he said, "Most of the things that we lost can be replaced. And it may take us some time, but we'll bounce back." And then he looked at his family, and with a knot in his throat, he said, "I thank God we were able to save what could never be replaced." And there is nothing, nothing in this world of more value than our relationship with the Lord, our faithfulness to His church, our service to His kingdom, our marriages, our children, the jobs God has given us to provide for our families and to meet their needs, our own needs too, to be blessed by friends and to have a great creation God gave us for man, for each of us to enjoy. The question as we close this morning is, where do we fit, or where do I fit personally into God's priorities? Or where does God fit into my priorities? This morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, there is nothing, nothing more important than your soul. Or if you've obeyed the gospel, but you've been unfaithful to the gospel, again, there's nothing more important than your soul. There's nothing more important than going to heaven. I guess the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we on our way? And more than that, are we taking the people who matter most to us on the way with us? What does every family need? Priorities and balance. And if your life is out of balance and we can help you in any way to right that ship, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.